Our reading this afternoon emphasized the importance that in our lives that we should be energetic in our in the things that we do. Okay, just give me a sign, let me know. That we all should be energetic in what we do. We are to use our time in this life wisely. Colossians 4 and verse 5, Paul says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." We understand that that means buying up the opportunity. Time is a precious commodity. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." There's that same phrase again. "Because the days are evil." They are to be the finest, most productive, are the finest, most productive employees are to be Christians. And I think maybe some of you have had this experience. Employers know that. They know that they get a jewel whenever they hire someone who's a Christian, because they have someone who will be honest and have integrity in everything that they do. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, Paul says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." You notice that the goal here is not just to provide for yourself, but to have enough to give to someone else who doesn't have enough. That's the way that we are as Christians. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, "Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ." Now, I want you to get that now. We're talking about a bond servant, and he has no qualification about whether it's a good master or a bad master. He said you are to be obedient to them with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Whenever you choose to give yourself in the employee of someone, you must work for them as if you were working for the Lord himself. Then he explains, "Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord," again, "as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." You see why Christians make the best employees. Because when they work as if they're working for the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. "Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Then down in verse 24, again, "knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Our service is not just to an employer or a master, as it is in this case. We serve the Lord Christ. And then in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not showing, but showing good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." Now, just a minute. What did he say? Obedient to their masters, be well-pleasing to them, and not answering back. You're to be an employee that doesn't mouth off to the boss. You do your job, you do it the best of your ability, and that's what you're expected to do. That's what you're expected to do. No Christian is ever to be lazy. Now, I know that sounds pretty strange after all this stuff we've been singing here, to the work and to the work, to the work. But no Christian is to be lazy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we had read for us just a moment ago. I want you to look at verses 6 through 8. We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for you're not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. And then look at verses 10 through 13. Even we are with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, that is not chimney scripture, folks. That comes from the mouth of God. If any will not work, neither shall he eat. We understand that a person who is not willing to put forth the effort to work is not worthy of being fed. Now, that doesn't mean that a person might be unable to work. There are people who are honestly not able to work, and they need help, and we need to be compassionate to them. But able-bodied people should be working to provide for themselves. That is what the Word of God says. There's no time that laziness is ever condoned in the household of God, as amongst His children, I should say. No Christian, then, is to be a sluggard or lazy or guilty of slothfulness. Those are all words we find in the Scriptures. Slothfulness. We all probably are familiar with that sloth that was recently in a movie. He shows up on commercials all the time. And he is really slow. Not only slow moving, but he's slow thinking too. But we're not to be this type of a person. The Hebrew word that is translated sluggard or lazy man is asel. And it's only found in the book of Proverbs. You wonder why? It's only found in the book of Proverbs. The root meaning of it is that you are is a sluggish man, a sluggard, with one who has no discipline or motivation. Now notice that last one, a moral failure. A moral failure. That's what we're talking about here. The lazy man, by definition, is one who lacks sense. He is also one who does not make proper decisions. And he is one who cannot make up his mind to do what is most needful and most important. Many times the lazy man spends a lot of time thinking about all of these important things that need to be done, but that's all he does, is think about it. Never does it. Well, my concern, and yours I'm sure, is what does God say about laziness? Because, after all, that's what we're concerned about. What does God say? Well, first of all, who is guilty of laziness? Well, the Lord tells us in the book of Proverbs that those who want to do nothing are lazy. The soul of Proverbs 13:4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be rich. Proverbs 19 and verse 24, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl, and he will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's a descriptive thing, isn't it? Drops his hand in the bowl, and he's too lazy to pick it back up again. Too lazy to pick it up. The lazy man is one who engages in activities of a secondary importance and neglects those activities which should challenge their abilities or challenge their talents. In Proverbs 20, verse 4, the writer says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. You see, that describes the lazy man to a T. Someone has said that not only is he idle who is doing nothing, but he might be better employed. For sure. But he's also a man we read about in the New Testament, and that is the one talent man. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, we read about a man traveling off to a far country. And when he got ready to go, he delivered 5 talents to one of his servants, and to another 2 talents, and to one he gave 1 talent. Each man received according to his ability. Now, what happened? Well, while this man was gone, the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made 5 more. So he doubled his money. And likewise, he who received 2 talents gained 2 more, doubled his money. But he who received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came, and he was about came back and wanted to settle accounts with him. So he had received 5 talents, came, and he gave him 5 more. And he said, whoa, that's good. That's good. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. Then comes a man with 2 talents. He presents him with 2 more. And the Lord of these men said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then the fellow came who received 1 talent. And he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now, at this point, you might think, well, he was honest. He was an honest man, and he made sure that amount of money that he had been given was safe. And he brought it right to the master, gave him every penny of it, didn't keep anything for himself, and he was honest. But how'd the master view that? What did he think about it? He said, you wicked and lazy servant. What was the problem? He was wicked and lazy. You knew I reap where I have not sown, I gather where I have not scattered. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I will receive back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now listen to what happens to this lazy man. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, keep in mind, this lazy man buried and unburied the money. That took some work. How can he be called lazy? How can he be called... He busied himself with insignificant things and left the significant things undone. The Pharisees in the days of Jesus were also guilty of doing this. In Matthew 23 and verse 23, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." People who claim to be Christians often fill their lives with the more mundane aspects of service while leaving undone those things which are more important, such as teaching their children and reaching the lost. Those who are waiting for the church or elder to tell them what to do are in the same category. "Well, I just don't know what to do. Tell the elders, tell me what to do. Until the church gives me an order, I don't do anything." So they sit on the stool of do nothing and whittle on the stick of do less. And so goes their lives. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, this is very definitive of the subject we're talking about. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supply in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." He says, look at the ants. Look at them. They're always busy. They're getting food. They're supplying food. And they don't have any commander or overseer or ruler. Nobody. They just do it. What is their problem with you? Will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber. There goes the lazy man. But let's look for a moment at the causes of laziness according to God's Word. One cause of laziness is the fact that tomorrow seems to offer better opportunities than there are today. I'll do that tomorrow. Have you noticed that? A lazy man can always talk about tomorrow. Oh, I'll get to that tomorrow. But Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." You can talk all you want to about what you're going to do tomorrow. That doesn't get it done. You have today and now, and you need to use it to get it done. And many have never known the need for hard work and effort. They have always had the attitude of, well, let others do it. You know, I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time. Let others do it. I want to do the things I always did myself. But I find out that I can't. And it's hard to let others do it. It's hard for me to. But some people are content to let others do it for me. Proverbs 26 and verse 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. The lazy man always has the answers. He's the one. And some are lazy and just ultimately quit because they become discouraged. They are tired of being criticized for what they do. And they say, you know, to avoid criticism, I just won't do anything. Can't criticize me if I don't do anything. And then they get to the point where they start thinking that anything that inconveniences them or anything that's not as glamorous as they thought it would be just ought not to be done. Not to be done. And I might add, the lazy person hesitates to do anything that he can't see immediate results in. Some rarely see anything through to completion. The lazy man is only interested in the intrigue of the new and the different. And then pretty soon it's gone. Well, what about the curse of laziness? I would say one of the major problems with laziness is it paves the way for additional sins. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. That is chimney scripture. But it's true. It's true. We all know it's true. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul talks about the women who learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. What are they? They're idle. Their hands are not busy doing something. And so, what do? Then they find time to go from house to house, gossiping, being busybodies, and so forth. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. But it also makes room for discontent and complaints. Notice the one talent man, the lazy servant, how he maligned his master. Matthew 25 and verse 24. Then he had received the one talent, said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't. He was putting a bad light on his master. Why? Because he was lazy. He was bone lazy. And many times, laziness leads to mental and spiritual collapse. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and down to verse 18, because of laziness, the building decays. And through laziness of hands, the house leaks. Do you suppose that he was really talking about decaying buildings and leaky houses? No, I don't think so. He's trying to point out that the individual who is intent on being lazy is not going to increase in inability. Not going to get better. They're going to get progressively worse. Progressively worse. And many times, laziness just begets destitution. Proverbs 6, beginning verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler. Proverbs 19 and verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep. An idle person will suffer hunger. A man will not work, neither shall he eat. Proverbs 23 and 20 and verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drunkenness will clothe the man with rags. We understand how these things come together to bring about disaster. But here's the worst one of them all. Laziness causes one to be found repugnant to God. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. How does God view a lazy person? He's about as good as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Now, what is it then that a lazy man must do? Well, I know this is a hard one, but this is it. He must realize his condition and awake from it. In Ephesians 5:14, Paul says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." That's what the lazy man needs right there. That's what he needs. And he must not only awake, but he must awake to righteousness and to full energetic service to the Lord, for opportunities are abundant. In James chapter 1, verse 22, James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and continues into it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now I know we most often turn to this passage of Scripture in teaching the plan of salvation. But I want you to notice something. James was writing to Christians. He's writing to you and to me. What significance then is there to this? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't just sit there and hear the words and say, "Yeah, those are nice words. Nice words. Yeah, okay, great words." And then go away not doing anything. Do you know what? Look at how he pictures the person who does that. It's like a man looks in the mirror and sees his face and observes himself, and he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of a man he is. Think about that. I think that laziness could plague all of us one time or to one degree or another. When it comes to serving the Lord, some of us are in the category of lazy. I think it's high time we get out of that category. We need to be energetic servants of God. You know, when we started the lesson off, we talked about being the need for energetic service, all the to the work. You know. Then we got down there and found out where we really were. Don't leave it that like that. That's not the way to leave it. It's time to repent.